Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you love to go a-wandering, you're going to go places today. This is Wretched Radio, and this is Max. Do you want me to pronounce your name the way that I pronounce your name, or should we pronounce it the way that you pronounce your name?
Well, let's try Maxim Slivka.
Okay. Max Slivka. That's the Western version of your name.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't have the same Ukrainian accent you do. You're probably familiar with Max. You've heard his voice, you've seen his face from Tomorrow Clubs. You are the Grand Poobah of Ukraine. What's your title?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm actually Tomorrow Clubs representative here and marketing and PR in Ukraine.
And you are the guy who travels around and brings us videos from Ukraine, because what is going on in Ukraine is, in my estimation, a move of God working throughout Ukraine and Eastern Europe. Max, your heritage, before we jump into what's going on in Ukraine, it's mostly these days, what is the combination of religions in Ukraine?
It's mainly Orthodoxy, the Orthodox Church, a little bit of Greek Catholics, and the Crimea South Muslim.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment. But before we do, you and your family are evangelical.
Yep.
And what was it like for your mom and dad or your grandparents living in Ukraine? At the time, it was not an open country. It was an atheistic country. So what was life like in Ukraine for your parents 30, 40 years ago?
Well, Soviet life, no God, and those who believed in God was looked at as freaks, and basically Christians were persecuted. They could not gather; they would be, either arrested or fined, and kids were never allowed to go to church. Otherwise, parents again would be fined or interrogated. And so the religious freedom, like for especially evangelicals, were extremely hard.
When they would not be allowed to teach their children,
absolutely,
or they would be fined.
Yeah,
would people that were not evangelicals rat? Would they tell on your parents so that they could be rewarded by the government?
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, teachers were actually standing. The school teachers would stand outside of the. They knew where the gatherings are. The teachers would stand at the gate to make sure children are not going to the church.
Nice. Because I was just reading in China, they're putting in a social structure where you're given points. And if you have a low score, you're on the low rung of Chinese society. And the government is encouraging people, citizens, if they want to climb up the social ladder, to tell on their neighbors who are practicing Christianity. That is a recipe for persecution, but that's what was going on in Ukraine.
Exactly.
But 28 years ago.
Yeah, 28 years ago. That's how long
was that was life. All right, from that standpoint, your parents living underneath a communist system where evangelical Christianity was a big no-no. How do you think that that formed and shaped your family and specifically you?
I think my parents, their prayers and their wise advices and just their example, I think it's the biggest one. Just seeing them following God and worshiping God. And their example, that's the biggest.
I'm thinking of John Rogers. He was the first Marian martyr. And when he was marched out to his execution, they put him up on a platform, and they were going to set him on fire. And when they lit him, he was repeating Psalm 51 over and over again. And when he perished, the people cheered. And it wasn't because they were glad he was dead, but because they realized, because of his sacrifice, he really believed it, and they could believe it too. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think about that, because maybe that's how you saw your parents. They were willing to be persecuted, mm-hmm. but they still stood firm despite the persecution. It had to have impacted you.
It did, because, you know, they knew the price. They paid the price.
Right? And they paid the price. All right. Did your folks ever get sent to jail? Did they ever get fined?
Two of my grandparents went to jail. For one was in the army, and he came back home and went to the church with the Russian Soviet uniform, and people reported, neighbors, and he was sentenced to 7 years. And then my dad's dad, he was a pastor of underground church, and again, someone reported, and he was sentenced to, it's not like a gulag, it's like a mine somewhere in Siberia where they dug. It's like not uranium, it's like a chemical that, you know, eventually my grandpa died, like when he was 15.
Okay, in a gulag or in the prison, did they ever talk about what that was like?
Well, not much, because I never met my grandfather on my dad's side, but my mom's dad, father, he was, you know, he said that, you know, there were brothers like him in the prison, so they had like a brotherhood there. And, I mean, they were treated, mocked. I don't know a lot of details, but it seemed to me that he really felt like it was worth it.
Mm.
I mean, to him, got in prison more real than out of prison.
Max Slivka? Did
yes.
I say that better?
Exactly.
I've been saying your name wrong for years. You know that.
It's okay.
you and I go back. We were trying to figure out when I first met you was 10, 12, 15 years ago, something like that.
It was a while ago.
It was before you were married and before you had your daughter.
Yep.
I was with you in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I remember was going to an Orthodox church. Do you remember what was happening that day?
Yeah.
What?
We met a priest.
But there was a wedding going on.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Describe for everyone what an Orthodox wedding is like in Ukraine.
Well, basically, they go to church, and the priest sprinkles, it just like, you know, says some, you know, words of, you know, things and prayers, and then there's no ring exchange, because government is responsible for that. They sanctify them with the holy water, and then they step on a special towel. Orthodox has a lot of paganism in it, so there's traditions that are incorporated in the Orthodox Church. So basically, they follow those rules and those orders.
Mm-hmm. I remember a lot of bowing, a lot of kissing of objects,
icons,
veneration going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when they walked out, there was water flying. The priest was there, and lots of bowing going on.
Yeah.
And that was that was my introduction to the real Orthodox mm-hmm. Church. But you, from living in Ukraine for a long time, mm-hmm. you've been exposed to the Orthodox Church more. What is the Orthodox Church's attitude toward evangelicals?
They see the world and around them, whoever is not Orthodox is either like a sect or it's a cult to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're treated as a cult.
Yeah, and they're not opposed to treating evangelicals poorly, are they?
There.
Not funny for our brothers and sisters there, but they can be quite aggressive.
Indeed.
If you would be so kind. Now, this is, remember, there's the Russian Orthodox Church, Ukrainian Orthodox Church, but all Eastern Orthodox Church.
Mm-hmm.
You were in a foreign country in Eastern Europe. I don't know if you want to mention the name of it. What mm-hmm. did the priests and the police do at a Tomorrow Club's camp?
Well, they basically came to the camp, stood in the front of the gates, and stopped, you know, basically sent all the kids home.
They wouldn't let them come into the Tomorrow Club's camp.
No. Otherwise, they told their parents, tell your parents that if you let them, if they let you come here, we will not bury them.
We will not bury them. Mm-hmm. And why is that a big deal?
Because they believe that, you know, the saint can, you can do whatever you want, and then the saint and the priest, after you die, he can read special prayers, sing special songs, liturgy, and this way kind of send you to heaven.
Off to heaven you go. Yeah. And if you don't get buried by the Orthodox priest,
you go to hell.
You go to hell. Mm-hmm. And so they lovingly tell the kids,
absolutely,
you go to this evangelical camp, your mm-hmm. parents are going to hell.
Yeah.
Basically is... Yeah, and that type of thing happens actually a lot with Tomorrow Clubs. They're very opposed to the work that you're doing.
Absolutely.
All right. If you're not familiar with Tomorrow Clubs, Max is the representative in Ukraine. You travel all over Moldova, Albania, to Georgia, to Romania, and he works with the Tomorrow Clubs. It is a magnificent ministry. You're bringing the gospel, not works, not get buried by the priests, not bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, but bringing the gospel to kids all throughout Ukraine. There are, I don't even know how many people that are wretched people are supporting Tomorrow Clubs, but many of you are. If you have not yet decided to support a Tomorrow Club of your own, you can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Max, Paul, and Cindy, and how many volunteers do you currently have?
2,500 as of today.
Yeah, which is probably why $30, you disciple 30 kids. Mm-hmm. You can do that through tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. When we return with Max Slivka, look at that, I now speak Ukrainian.
Yeah.
Didn't take
long. Good job.
By osmosis. We will hear about the religious makeup of Eastern Europe next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us. Glad when you can spend time listening to Wretched Radio. You may have noticed that the younger folks don't have the same connection to TV as we older folks do. Matter of fact, almost half of millennials watch no content on traditional TV platforms. They use their phones. For over 2 hours every day, their apps and their phones are how they get their information. So we are heading off into the world of online streaming services. And soon, Wretched's full episodes, that includes filmed full episodes of the radio show, will be available on more platforms, talking places like Facebook and YouTube. Are you able to partner with us and reach out to millennials? Go to wretched.org/donate and think about becoming a Wretched Gospel partner so that we can reach millennials together. Wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner. Soon, wretched.org won't be the only place to find our videos. Wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Alicia's a full-time nurse. On the weekend, she was running a pregnancy clinic in the highest abortion neighborhood in the United States, Queens, New York. More babies killed than there are born in this place. And she was raising the money on her own. And it's only open one day a week.
We could change that. There could be a pro-life center open 7 days a week, providing free ultrasounds for women by supporting preborn.org/wretched.
Preborn is very intentional and deliberate in providing free, loving, gospel-centered alternatives and ultrasounds to these young women in New York City. We're on it, man. It's not easy, and it's probably going to get a lot harder, I think.
Please join preborn.org/wretched in their effort to save babies and to save mommies through the gospel and stop this cycle. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, excuse me. Yes, you. No, don't look around. I'm talking to you. If you are not a Wretched Gospel partner already, would you consider becoming one? Every dollar you give helps Wretched reach thousands with the gospel and helps keep the lights on around here. So if you want people to hear the gospel and you want to keep us here at Wretched out of the dark, please support Wretched by becoming a Wretched Monthly Gospel Partner. And here's where we had a joke written about the lights turning off, but it's radio, so you have to just imagine it. Without your consistent financial support, Wretched couldn't do what we do every day. Like distribute 1 million copies of our latest evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple, and film a new show called Road Trip to Truth with host John Fabares. If you are already supporting Wretched, we are so extremely thankful and cherish every dollar you've given. If you're not supporting Wretched, would you consider giving a tax-deductible gift on a monthly basis? Wretched.org/donate for details.
Books of the Bible. Romans was written by the Apostle Paul
to the church in Rome. It is a thorough, systematic presentation of the gospel. The two major themes are sin and righteousness. Sinners are counted righteous by imputation of Christ's righteousness. If you wish to understand the gospel, the clearest, most thorough explanation is in the book of Romans. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Spanning the globe to bring you Max. This is Wretched Radio, flying in all the way from Kiev in the Ukraine. How'd that feel? Pretty good?
No.
Max Slivka, you didn't know I spoke Ukrainian. It's not Kiev, it's
Kiev.
Say it again.
Kiev.
Okay, so it's not Kiev. It's got a little dipsy doodle at the end.
It's kind of Kiev, it's Russian version, and Kiev is Ukrainian version.
Oh, well, now wait a second. So the Russian version is Kiev?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we're not that far off then, are we?
Well, but I would prefer Kiev.
Yeah, because the Russians don't own Ukraine, at least not today. They'd like to, it seems. So it's Kiev,
mm-hmm.
and it is not the Ukraine. It's Ukraine.
Just Ukraine.
Okay. Now that we've had our Russian-Ukrainian lesson, what's the difference between the Ukrainian and the Russian language anyway?
Well,
I thought you were just going to say Ukrainian is better.
Yes.
Because there's that rivalry thing.
It's famous for being the most... singing language.
Singing language.
Yeah, because songs are beautiful. And, well, Russian is more rough, and Ukrainian is more tender and soft.
It's softer.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's fascinating. I didn't know. Would you like to just please deliver one of your Ukrainian songs for us? We'd be thrilled to hear it. Go ahead.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm not going to make you sing.
I'm not a singer. Unless,
okay. Yeah. Actually, I know that because I've been to church with you. Speaking of which, you have been in this here place, Atlanta, Georgia, now mm-hmm. for several hours. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're a native. Mm-hmm. You took the train through downtown Atlanta. You survived it,
absolutely.
Which we had a betting pool going on in the office. We actually didn't think that you'd make it, so we're very glad that you made it through the MARTA. And you saw downtown Atlanta, you've had a little taste of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Do a compare and a contrast for us. Based on your experience here in Georgia, how does this Georgia compare with the Georgia in Eastern Europe?
Well, there's no Uber.
There's no Uber.
Yeah. And, it's really hard to compare because it's like you compare a piece of heaven and somewhere
else,
yeah.
It's that bad.
Yeah, it's, poverty. It's kind of, I think you got to go there and see for yourself.
Well, I've seen the videos, mm-hmm. and it's hard for us to even imagine it because we'll get the weather reports that a big storm is coming through. We get really amazing storms here in Georgia. Mm-hmm. They come out of the Gulf, and they come out of the coast, and it's just explosive thunderheads, and it's magnificent. And the weatherman will say, you might lose power. And we all go into a complete panic. The lights might flicker if you had some sort of lightning strike near you.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're right back on. Or the power company is out there. They're fixing it up. And we whine like crazy if we're without power for an hour. Do they have power in Georgia in most places?
They do have power, but the power can go off in some places.
Without a
storm. And some places where we're on Tomorrow Club, the building does not have power.
At all?
At all, yeah.
So the kids come in.
Yeah.
And there's no lights?
And they use like a lamp or like what do you call like a kerosene.
Uh-huh.
And they use like flashlights and they use, they try to meet during the day. So
sure.
It's, yeah.
What about the winters in Georgia? It's not like going to Hawaii.
It's better than Ukraine because it's souther.
Sure.
It's more south of us. And there are more mild there, but pretty much every home you go, they burn wood. They have a special, like a wood stove.
Yeah.
And that's why they get
hit. How many fires are there because of those stoves?
Honestly, I don't know.
Because I always, there were a lot of fire problems back in the old day in the West here because mm-hmm. in the middle of the night, a log would roll out and set the place on fire.
I would imagine, but those guys kind of creative. They created the, I wish you could see them. They are like, portable, just It's amazing to see what people can come up with.
Okay, speaking of ingenuity, I'm thinking about a Tomorrow Club. I don't know if you remember this, but there was a video that you probably sent from a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. There was this ramshackle building in Ukraine, I think. And the one fellow, there was no glass in the windows.
Yeah.
Do you remember the story that I'm talking about?
It's a common thing. There's no glass. They put like a plastic, you know, like to cover it. The wind doesn't blow in.
Yeah, just to keep the cold out
is about
it. So needless to say, life in Georgia, Eastern Europe, is not like Georgia in the States.
Absolutely.
Okay, talk to me, if you would, about the kids. You are a part of the Tomorrow Clubs, and you've got how many kids clubs in Georgia?
As of today, we have 13.
13
clubs, yeah.
And you think that's a low number, don't you?
It's a small country.
All right, but you'd like to see more.
Oh, I wish, but it's difficult.
Okay, we were just talking about a prosperity preacher who spent like $30 million on a private jet.
It's insane.
What could the Tomorrow Clubs do with 10% of that, $3 million?
Well, I think we could completely evangelize one country.
Everybody hear the gospel. Instead, this knucklehead is flying around in an airplane drinking champagne. Just bonkers. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched if you'd like to support them in their effort to bring the gospel to very remote places, very poor parts of Eastern Europe. Georgia, talk to me about the kids and what it is like to be a child in Georgia.
Well, the places we go, rural places where we go, you know, kids have very little opportunities. And because they're remote, you know, it's just like when you get to see them, first thing that strikes me that, you know, they are hungry. You know, they want to connect with you. They want to, especially when you show them some love and some, you know, respect. They're all around you. But when you find out about the families, where they came from, the situations they live, it just breaks your heart.
They're hungry.
Yep.
Lack of food in Georgia?
I mean, you see, there's a big contrast. There are a lot of poor people, and there are a little bit of rich people.
And no middle class.
Almost no middle class, yeah.
Okay, percentages, rich people versus poor people.
Maybe like, I don't know, maybe like around 5%.
5% are doing just fine. And 95% are struggling to feed their children.
Yeah.
Tomorrow Clubs roll in, and they start setting up maybe an English camp, or you set up the clubs in each one of these villages. Mm-hmm. How many of those kids that come to one of those camps or to Tomorrow Club, how many of them have two parents?
It depends on the country, because Georgia itself, you know, it's, you know, even though husband can be an alcoholic, but they just don't divorce. They just
stay together even though it's a mess.
It's a mess, yeah.
But all right, so these children from poor families, how many of them have a mom and a dad that are sober? They're trying to work and have a stable family life.
In places where we work, it's few.
Very few.
Very few.
See, the reason that I asked about two parents is because my understanding a lot in whether it's Ukraine, Rome, any of the Eastern European countries, in order to survive, mom or dad moves to Western Europe to get a job.
Yeah, exactly.
And they frequently don't even come back home.
Yeah.
And that's the situation that Tomorrow Clubs goes into. When you go to, let's stay in Georgia, how many competing ministries are there? How many people are trying to get in there with the gospel?
Not many.
I don't know what that is. There's so many ministries in the States, and they focus, it seems like we're drawn to certain countries, but you rarely hear about activity in Eastern Europe. But Tomorrow Clubs are there.
Absolutely.
All right. There's 13 in Georgia, Moldova. Is it poorer than Georgia?
Oh, yeah.
It's worse.
It's worse, yeah. It's the poorest country in Europe.
Lovely. And how religious are both Moldova and Georgia?
You see, there are kind of a split between Romania influence and Russian influence. So it's, again, predominantly Orthodox.
And the Eastern Orthodox Church has an iron fist on these people, doesn't it?
Yeah, as usual.
As usual, because in these countries, they will keep the kids from coming to the camps. They'll threaten. Have they ever tried, the Eastern Orthodox priests, have they ever tried to get a Tomorrow Club shut down?
Oh, multiple times. Just what we're talking about, Georgia, that's exactly what happened. We started a Tomorrow Club in this remote village that borders with Azerbaijan, and it's actually former Stalin's prison where the prisoners from all over Soviet Union were sent to. And basically, the camp was flourishing, kids are coming, until one day he came and he just basically stood in the front of the door and sent the kids home and said, never come back here. You know, this is not from God. This is this is a cult, it's a sect. And he threatened them, threatened their parents. And the Tomorrow Club recovered only, a year after. It took a year to recover, to get some kids back.
So the word tolerance isn't one that is used a lot by the Eastern Orthodox. These are the places that Tomorrow Clubs are going. If you would like to support your own Tomorrow Club reaching these kids and their families with the gospel, you can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. This is Wretched Radio.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is mercy. Those who possess this gift are able to show compassion and comfort the afflicted, people who are sick, dying, or bereaved. God cares about the things that afflict us and has provided comfort in troubled times. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Come on, evangelicals. Are we going to let the Mormons beat us? I say no. This is Wretched Radio, sitting in studio. Max Slivka from Kiev. Exactly. In Ukraine, joining us from the Tomorrow Clubs, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Magnificent ministry. They go into very poor villages in Eastern Europe, bringing the gospel, discipling, give or take about 30 kids in each one of the little clubs. $30, 30 little disciples, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Max, talk to us about the presence of other religions in Ukraine, Eastern Europe, besides the Eastern Orthodox Church.
Well, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses are big, too.
They're the biggies. In fact, that's actually how the Tomorrow Clubs really got started, was thanks to the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yep.
Right? Well, Cindy Marty, who was she grew up Jehovah's Witness.
Exactly.
She got saved. She had a heart for Ukraine, went there trying to figure out how can we bring the gospel, because Ukraine was absolutely invaded by Jehovah's Witnesses.
Flooded.
When the country opened up.
Yep.
All right, and then the Mormons also flooded into Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
How prevalent is Mormonism? How popular? Is it growing?
It's growing. It's growing really fast because you can see them everywhere, in parks, in subways, underground, the subway system. Just like they build their temples, like one after another one, right next to where I live. You know, they just build magnificent building. I'm talking about the Jehovah's Witness.
The Jehovah's Witness. Yeah. Where are they getting that money?
Well, from here.
Yeah. And that's why we can't let them beat us. Absolutely. We need to be supporting the Tomorrow Clubs. Enough of this Jehovah's Witness business.
Yeah.
You don't have a problem with that, do you? Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. All right, so the Jehovah's Witnesses, I remember being there, actually. Mm-hmm. They're just like here. In fact, you maybe saw them on the outside of the train station today. They set up their little camp, and they stand there. How did the Jehovah's Witnesses dress in Ukraine?
I don't think any different than here. You know, suit, dark, darker clothes. Modest looking,
but well dressed.
Yeah,
why
tight? I maybe they try to create like a perception that that they're okay people, that they're nice looking people
and successful people,
and by what people see, they of course judge.
Prosperity preachers, they'll do that. You probably didn't get wind of this story in Ukraine, but it was called Preachers and Sneakers.
Okay.
That some guy, and the blog, the internet somewhere, started zooming in on the prosperity preacher's tennis shoes that they were wearing. Thousands of dollars for a pair of tennis shoes. And that's a part of their shtick. You see, I believe this. I have really expensive tennis shoes. If you follow me, then you're going to have expensive tennis shoes too. So there's something, you know, there's some method to their madness. And I suspect that Jehovah's Witnesses do that same thing. I'm doing above average. Join my cult and you'll be doing above average too. What about the Mormons?
Oh, Mormons are, you know, they're, I would say, like, if you don't know, you probably wouldn't make it see the difference. But then you realize that, you know, they're all very nice, good-looking people, dress very nicely, suits, you know, not casual, no casual clothes at all. And, yeah, I have this little tag on their name. And very kind, super kind. And it's not very common for Ukraine and for the countries where we serve. People are more closed and you don't know what's in their head.
It's true. Yeah. No, it's true. I know. I've been there. Going to a restaurant in Ukraine is a radically different experience than in the States. We're loud. We're yelling across the restaurant. In Ukraine, just
quiet.
There's nothing going on right there. So the Mormons, well-dressed, well-coiffed, they present themselves well. There's a term for what the Mormons do, which is another sign or a mark of a cult. They love bomb people. That's the term we use here.
Wow, it's interesting.
They're just super, super nice.
Yeah.
And people who are hurting.
Absolutely.
People who are struggling, they're maybe getting loved on for the first time, and they get walked right into the cult. And it sounds like that's the same thing that they're doing in Ukraine.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Exactly.
All right. So we've got Eastern Orthodox. We've got Mormons. We've got Jehovah's Witnesses. What is the percentage of evangelicals in Eastern Europe?
Oh, it's always been like 3%.
3%.
Yeah, 3% or a little bit above.
Okay. And the evangelicals have had the same access that the J-Dubs and the Mormons have had for the last 28 years.
Yeah.
All right, where are those guys at? What percentage of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons do you know?
They're kind of secretive. Like
they don't tell you.
Yeah, they don't really tell you. It's, you know, I need to look at the latest statistics because honestly, there was a while ago, I think last year when I came across those statistics where they would show like 3.2% of evangelical Christians in Ukraine.
Yeah, but they're competing. And there's enough money getting pumped in that they're building their temples, which, by the way, you live by one of those Mormon tabernacles, right? Mormon temple?
It's actually Jehovah's Witness.
Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you've ever been to Salt Lake City, the HQ of the Mormons and the big Mormon tabernacle, it is one of the creepiest buildings I've ever seen. There is just something weird about it because it's sort of like trying to be a Gothic church, but there's no windows.
Oh, yeah.
No stained glass. It's all secretive. It's all very private. There's no cross. It's like something's wrong with what's going on in that building. Is that the way they build them there?
It's amazing, but I think they built the biggest one in Eastern Europe, just in Kiev, not long time ago. It's like it takes big piece of land. It sits on a big piece of land. It's like on a hill. It's a square building, like with a tall peak, and it has no windows. But it's huge.
Yeah. And I've got to believe that it's getting funded from the United States because I think Mormons are above average household income. They are doing well, and I suspect they're supporting them. And that's why we can't let them win.
Yeah.
We want them to support the Tomorrow Clubs,
we
evangelicals, so that we can get the gospel out. And we're not interested in fancy buildings per se. We're just interested in strengthening the local church, bringing the gospel to the kids. The kids bring it home to mom and dad. Strengthens the local church. We've heard story after story. If you can support the Tomorrow Clubs, you can do that. $30 per month, 30 little disciples. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. All right, Max, let's go to Romania. There's a people group in Romania that the Tomorrow Clubs are reaching.
Yep.
Who am I talking about?
Roma people. Some people call them gypsies.
That's kind of a derogatory term,
yeah,
isn't
it's
it?
You know, among themselves they call themselves gypsies, but you know, officially you use word Roma right, people.
But we're talking about wandering people. Mm-hmm. They kind of go into an area, they stay for however long, and then they leave.
Take off, yeah.
They do not have a good reputation, do they?
Oh, never did.
Why not?
Well, first of all, they are famous for stealing. They are, you know, they are really poor. They have the fortune telling, witchcraft, and drugs. You know, nowadays, and prostitution.
And if I recall, education level among the Roma people, fifth grade max.
They can't read or write. Like, it's so common. Like, they're literal.
All right. So now, tomorrow clubs go into Romania. Are we talking about northern Romania?
Yes, northern right. Romania.
So you go into northern Romania, mm-hmm. and you try to set up a tomorrow clubs with the kids. Do the Roma kids come?
Yeah. They flood.
They flood it?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, free food.
Works. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Well, plus, you know, I think, like, they find out one Roma comes and he brings all the others.
Yeah, that's because it's nice there. It's good. We do fun things there. We learn stuff there, and then they tell the kids, and they bring them in. Now, contrast Roma children with kids in Ukraine.
Oh, it's just unbelievable. They're completely chaotic. There's
which ones?
The Roma, the gypsy. I'm talking about the gypsy Romans.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So they're complete. There's no rules. There's just, like, you know, it's complete chaos. You know, heart uncontrollable.
It's not funny if you're one of the Tomorrow Club leaders, but it's chaos. Nevertheless, you persevere because you try to bring mm-hmm. the gospel to the kids. Mm-hmm. All right. So the kids in Ukraine, they behave a little more organized?
They're more organized, more way behave. But you need to also realize that in Western Ukraine, close to Romania, we also have a big groups of Roma and Gypsies. We also have tomorrow clubs that reach out to the Roma
community. Okay, any of those Roma getting saved?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, that's what it's all about. Yeah. All right, would like to encourage you, please, if you have never supported a Tomorrow Club, you can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. We're competing with the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. We can beat them, can't we? They run very efficiently. This is not about building empires or big buildings. There's, did you say 2,500 volunteers?
Yeah.
And that's why it's run so efficiently. It's basically volunteer-driven. You can support your own Tomorrow Club. It is $30 for 30 little disciples. It could be in Romania with the Roma kids, Ukraine, Moldova, Georgia, Albania, even in Russia.
In Belarus.
And Belarus. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. Please support it if you can. Let's beat them. They're Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. This is Wretched Radio. Story after story after story of those people who have been saved and trained and given a Bible from Bible League International.
By 12 years of age, this young boy, Ahmed, had been recruited to be a suicide bomber. He came to place his faith in Jesus Christ. He has a burden to take the gospel to young men in his age group who are sold out to violent Islam. Toddy's led about 50 young men to Christ.
That's the voice of Michael Woolworth from Bible League International, sat in studio with me sharing story after story after story of lives affected because they heard the gospel and they received the word of God because of Bible League International and your support. $5 a Bible to Ahmed. How many could you send? Please consider supporting Bible League International at wretched.org/Bible. wretched.org/Bible.
Ah, summer. A time for relaxation and doing yard work and going to the pool, slapping mosquitoes, eating popsicles. However, while you're busy spraying on your mosquito repellent or putting on your suntan lotion, did you know that summertime is extremely hard on nonprofit ministries? It is. Because people, we are busy enjoying our time outside in the good weather and we're staying off our phones, computers, and televisions and the like. Unfortunately, because of that, ministries suffer the effects. If you're not already a gospel partner, would you be willing to give a tax-deductible donation to Wretched, especially during the summer season? Without the consistent financial support from our gospel partners, Wretched wouldn't be able to do what we do every day. And the more you give, the more we can give away. So while you're remembering to slather on the 70 SPF sunscreen,
don't forget about Wretched this summer. Visit wretched.org/donate to become a gospel partner. Wretched.org/donate.
So, you don't think that your sponsorship of a Tomorrow Club is worth it, huh?
One of the kids that came, you know, her parents were both alcoholics. The leader said, why don't you invite your mother to come? She started coming and she'd hear little pieces of the gospel and she started drinking a little bit less and started coming to the church, and the church started trying to help them. And believe it or not, even the father stopped drinking and the whole family has come to the Lord. Now this family operates the Tomorrow Club.
These stories are happening all over Eastern Europe. Poor villages, the Tomorrow Clubs invade. They meet with the kids every week. They disciple them. They preach the gospel to them. They have them memorize Bible verses. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. And the local church gets strengthened. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month. 30 little disciples. You can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. God uses the text of Scripture to clearly communicate His character and will. God has not hidden His will for only the enlightened few to find. His truth can be clearly understood by anyone who reads His Word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Does the gospel make a difference? Oh yeah, this is Wretched Radio, and this is, well, you can't actually see him because this is radio and there's no pictures. Max Slivka, am I getting better? Please, just lie.
No, you're doing good.
He's from the Tomorrow Clubs. You can support a Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. They are kids' clubs all throughout Eastern Europe, bringing the gospel where, frankly, there are not many, if any, Christian ministries going. But Tomorrow Clubs do. It is volunteer-driven, 2,500 volunteers who are willing to be patient and loving, even in the midst of chaos, which it can be, because these kids maybe aren't parented real well in these poor countries. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Clubs, they will invade a little town, typically an English camp, to kind of attract the kids, then start up a Tomorrow Club in conjunction with a local church so that the local church can be strengthened. Because if you bring the gospel, look, it's great that you bring the gospel, but if there's not a local church you're working with or trying to establish a local church, it doesn't have a lot of sustainability. So this is done in conjunction with the local church. That is why I'd like to encourage you to support a Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, because the gospel makes a difference. Max, share with us a story from whatever country, whatever person you would like to.
Well, the first story that really stands right now in my mind is the story that we just went and firsthand saw in Georgia. There's a little town, Kirsa, on the Azerbaijan border that was used to. I mean, when you go there, you would think, like, what is this building? What is this, like, you know, whole place doing here in the middle of nowhere? But later we found out it was a former Stalin's prison, where they send people from all over the Soviet Union to do their turns. And you need to see it. You go there, like, you know, it's like so, like, beaten up, like, you know, it's being like, seems like a ghost town. But there is a lot of kids in that little city. It's actually a little town. I would not even call it city. It's like, you know, you can walk like within 5-7 minutes. So we came to this club that has like the building had no electricity, and there's a church, a very small church, and they started a Tomorrow Club. So there was one girl, Lika. At the time she was 12, and when she came to the Tomorrow Club, she was a real hooligan. And sometimes leaders wished she never came, but because they showed her love and they know where they came from themselves, you know, they showed her grace. And a little while after, the girl changed tremendously, and the leaders find out why she was like that. It appeared that her father was an alcoholic. He never worked. And Lika and her mother, just like last year themselves, they gathered 2 tons of garlic by their hands. So Lika, you know, she had a lot of She was ashamed of her father, ashamed of her situation. And but when she saw the acceptance and love shown to her by the leaders in Tomorrow Clubs, you know, she began to change. And what we've seen now, you know, what it's afterwards, we never would think that Lika what she was before and the way leaders her described what she was. So not only she is a student of Tomorrow Club, she gave her life to Christ, she repented, and she wants to be baptized. Not only that, now she as a help, she wants to be a leader of this Tomorrow Club, and she's doing great, you know, with the music and with the kids, and leaders cannot be more thankful for this kid. Unbelievable.
And I love hearing these stories, and even though they have a repeated theme, it is such a beautiful refrain. You could hear it over and over again. First of all, these kids come in, and the parents, it tends to be a mess. Dad is an alcoholic. She and mom gathered garlic.
Yeah.
He should be working.
Yeah, he should be working.
Mom and 12-year-old daughter have to be working the fields, which I don't know what it's like to pick garlic, but it doesn't sound like a bucket of laughs.
Oh, yeah.
And you can understand why this little girl was a tornado.
Yeah.
And just plain angry.
Yeah. She was this way somehow protecting herself.
Right. I you know what? Classic. Mm-hmm. So they come to a Tomorrow Club, and you said something that I've heard from Paul and Cindy before. These kids get loved on, and it cracks the shell because they haven't mm-hmm. been treated like that before.
Yeah.
That's why, too, we need to be praying for the volunteers of the Tomorrow Clubs, that they'll be filled with lots of love, lots of patience, lots of grace, because mm-hmm. these kids can be terrors.
They could. They can.
And this girl was.
She was.
But she's saved. And by the way, there's another word that we hear consistently with Tomorrow Club stories, the R word. Do you know what that word is?
The R?
The R word. Repent.
Repentance. Yeah, that we use it all. It's like what we do. We repent.
It's not what we do here in evangelical America. We don't talk about the R word very much because, well, we just prefer to have people ask Jesus into their hearts. Kind of what we like.
That's interesting.
To accept Jesus. Make a decision for Jesus. Raise your hand and you're in the kingdom. But Tomorrow Clubs, you use the word repent. In fact, the Tomorrow Club, any of the evangelicals, they're actually known as the repenters, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think that's outstanding. All right, tell us that young lady's name again.
Lika. Her name is Lika.
Lika, and she was from Moldova?
She's from Georgia, a little town, Kirsa.
All right. Can you share with us a story from Moldova?
Oh, this story, well, it's a heartbreaking story. When I actually heard it for the first time, I couldn't believe it, what people can do to their kids. Basically, our country director, Edik, he shared with us the story at the conference, and he brought the pictures, and I'm actually going there to record it. And this girl named Veronika, and at first, two of her younger brothers started to come into the Tomorrow Club. But as I found out, this family was kind of isolated from the village and nobody wanted to talk to them. They were like leopards of the village. And everyone wondered why. And then later, when the brothers were coming for some time, the leader of the Tomorrow Club, he wanted to get to know the family better. So he went to talk to the mother and to the daughter, and they, at that time they had a little small baby there, and to his own surprise and shock, he realized that the father was in prison, and the reason why he went to prison because he raped his daughter, and the daughter gave birth to this little boy, and the daughter. And the reason, and that's why they were like the leopards of the village, because everyone knew about the situation and they were just by themselves trying to survive. The poor mother had to be working all the time and able to provide for five children so they could survive. So slowly the leader brought food, and then later the girl started to come to Tomorrow Club, and amazingly what happened, and gradually the family started to open up and look at them not like the people in the village, but more like people who of hope. And they started to talk and at least have conversation. And believe it or not, just like I heard last week before I left for the States, her mother and Natasha and Veronica, they repented and they were baptized.
Well then, it doesn't get more wicked and yet more amazing than that. And now this little family, they're still in a little tiny village, probably still struggling, but they're saved.
Amen.
That's a Tomorrow Club.
Yep.
Bringing a meal and willing to talk to the people who are the lepers of town to bring them the gospel. I can't wait to hear that family story as it progresses.
Amen. Me too.
All right. So there you have it. If you do not get inspired to support a Tomorrow Club from that alone, I don't know what it'll take. And these stories, Max, you've got story after story after story. And look, this one perhaps is slightly like off the chart because the father impregnated his daughter.
His own mother.
Gave birth to a child.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, but nevertheless, there's story after story of tragedy after tragedy of people who come to a Tomorrow Club and they get saved. And it just changes everything.
Absolutely.
It just, I mean, the trajectory of their entire life, it just changes. And so while this particular story might be kind of like, yeah, shocking.
Oh, there are stories like that all the time.
All the time. Do you ever get kind of depressed?
I honestly, yes. At the beginning, you know, because to me, it's hard to even accept the thought, how is it possible? You know, how is it possible that people can do such thing to each other?
Sin.
Exactly.
And the fall. If you'd like to hear more stories like that, Tomorrow Clubs will go into more and more small towns and small villages. I know you, I know the folks who run it. The more supporters, the more clubs that open. It's just as simple as that. And the more people are going to hear the gospel and get saved and have their lives transformed. If you please consider supporting a Tomorrow Club, $30 per month, give or take about 30 kids attend each one of the Tomorrow Clubs. You'll be discipling 30 kids, $30, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.